Blessing and peace on everybody. Call you guys blessed. Welcome, my friends, to this week's edition of the Experiencing Real Life podcast. I call you blessed in the mighty name of King Jesus. I'm super duper duper excited about what we're going to talk about today because I want to tell you, man, the person that I have in the studio with me today is so honored, and she's known all over the world as the wife of Troy Brewer.
I think you're known as the husband of Leanna Brewer.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a guys. Leanna Brewer is in the house with me here today. Pastor Leanna, how are you, my dear?
I am blessed and highly favored.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling okay?
You know, it's starting to hit me.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I know that. So for the sake of everybody listening, you just got back from Uganda, East Africa yesterday.
I did.
Yeah, and you rode 18 hours in coach from Dubai.
From Dubai. Before that, it was 6 hours.
Yeah, from Entebbe to Dubai. And then you had a short layover there.
Three hours, and then it was
18 hours. And that's a very typical trip. Except for, since we can't fly over Iran anymore.
Yeah, that was a little uncomfortable.
Which you actually did fly in over
Iran.
We did.
So it's surprising that they didn't let us.
Yeah, just within the week that you were there, they actually said no more flying over Iran.
Right.
And I've flown over Iran 1,000 times. I'm always looking out the window. I'm just expecting to see a trail coming towards me.
Well, apparently they were too, so they did not let us go over.
Honestly, I'm like, I'm sure I can pray it away. Go left in Jesus' name. Go left in Jesus' name. That's what I think.
Well, I was okay for the extra 2 hours if that ensured my coming home.
So. Leanna, honey, you and I have been married for 31 years.
Yes.
Yeah, right on. Yep. We're about to have our anniversary, February 25th.
Yes.
February. Is that the 31st or the 32nd?
31st.
Yeah, so it's actually we will have completed 31st and we will enter into our 32nd.
Absolutely.
And I've gotten you shot at a couple of times, haven't I?
Yes, you have. Even before we got married, I don't know what I was thinking after that.
No, man, you were just thinking, God almighty, I'm in love with that boy. Just look at him.
Look at him. I love adventure.
I know. Praise God. So listen, we're going to be talking about, some of the harrowing adventures that you and I have done together, some of the things that we've seen together throughout the world. And then we're also going to be talking a little bit about Spark Worldwide, which is your organization serving, protecting, and raising kids. And we're going to bring attention to that. But let's just talk about, I remember the very first time that you and I went to Uganda. I think it was, do you remember what year it was?
It was 22 years ago.
22 years ago.
22.
So bust out your California math because you're from Los Angeles. Bust out, you know, I put it up.
1998.
Right on. So first time we went to Uganda.
That's my jet lag math. I hope it's
right. Man, I'm telling you. Right on. So sister, we were, a lot younger. We're 22 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in our mid-20s now. So
yes,
we were barely born.
Exactly.
We were still wearing diapers.
That's your Joshua math.
Well, it is what it is. Anyway, our kids were still little 22 years ago.
They were.
And we were going to Uganda, and we knew it was going to be a dangerous trip. I mean, we did. And we didn't know anybody over there except for Pastor K.L. Dixon and the other people that were hosting us.
We knew it was going to be dangerous, but we were young and stupid.
Yeah. But we actually did sit down and write a letter to our kids in case we got killed. Do you remember that letter?
I do. Well, I remember you writing a letter because I remember when it was always a dream for me to go to Uganda and just to travel everywhere and do missions. But I remember once I started having kids, I was like, I'm not so sure this is going to be the smartest thing. And I remember praying and asking the Lord, and which was a big deal for me then to say, Lord, I've got to have a promise from you that if I do this and I go and do the things that you've called me to do, that you will promise me that I will live to see my kids grown.
Right.
And you can take me after that, but I have to live to see them grown. And so every time we would go to these dangerous places, I was never afraid because I was very confident
Well, I hope that you've renegotiated with the Lord because our kids are grown now.
They are. And
have you done that? Because would you please, would you stop what you're doing right now and just renegotiate and say, God, we need to see our grandkids.
Heaven's looking better and better. No, I do.
I want to see my grandkids grown.
Absolutely.
In Jesus' name.
Absolutely. It's a good testimony for my grandkids to carry on the legacy of what we've done if I live a little bit longer.
So. And you will. You'll live.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, so listen, we actually sat down and wrote a letter to our kids in case we got killed because we had no idea. We didn't know anybody that was doing the crazy stuff we were doing back then.
Right.
Now all the people we're surrounded by are crazier than we are.
Yes, they are.
Which I love that. But I mean, but that was a 25-year process.
Right.
Is what that was. For a long time, you and I were just the tip of the spear. And the people that we were surrounded by did not celebrate us. They thought we were out of our freaking trees.
Well, you know, on this trip, I was reflecting back on that. And because now those people travel with
That's
me
right.
and
yeah,
telling me, oh, that was irresponsible. And I was sitting there and I was looking back and thinking, that was really irresponsible.
It was.
They were right.
It was irresponsible. I mean, in a sense, because we'd actually made arrangements with your brothers-in-law and your sisters saying, if we get killed on one of these crazy mission trips we're doing, you guys got to raise our kids. And it would just, they're like, you're still going to go. And so on that first trip, I want to just say this. We go all the time now.
Yeah.
And we send teams of people all the time. And we know how to do safe trips now.
Right.
And we know what to eat, what not to eat. We know where to go. And, you know, I mean, you learn how to do. By the way, how many times have you been to Uganda?
I have been to Uganda over 30 times.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's over 30 times.
Yeah, probably. I was trying to count the other day, and I got to 34, and I'm like, I know I'm missing 5 or 6 trips in there somehow, some way.
Yeah.
So we'll just say 35-ish times you've been, right? I haven't been near that many times. Probably 20, maybe?
I would go a lot more if it was closer.
Yeah, so I've been to Uganda maybe 20 times, something like that. And I've been to India a whole lot more than you have. And I've been to those kinds of places. But we both have our countries and we have our nations that we know that the Lord has given us. Okay, well, let's talk about our very first trip over there because everybody doesn't know that story, okay?
Wow.
So when we first went over there, Uganda was at war, and we had no idea Uganda was at war.
No clue.
The people that invited us had no sense whatsoever, and they didn't know how to take care of Americans. They didn't know how to, you know, they didn't know.
Well, to their credit.
Yeah, what?
They lived in the village.
Yeah,
they didn't know. They
that's
honestly
exactly right.
did not
they,
know.
They were YMCA village people
yeah,
is
they
what
were.
They were,
mm-hmm.
and they had never been around, you know, Americans and didn't
right.
know. And anyway.
And they were very young at the time,
and
too.
And they were also very young. That is correct. And so they invited us, and I can remember when we went out to West Uganda and we were there up against the Rwenzori Mountains, I can remember going, you know, I've been here a week and I haven't seen a single airplane, not a single airplane. It's incredible. This giant, beautiful blue sky. I had no idea that's because they were at war.
Right.
And you do not do flyovers.
Right.
When you are at war. You don't, you know, there's no casual airplanes flying over because you're liable to get shot down. And my first indication that we were at war was when you and I were in that boat and
at Queen Elizabeth
National Park, and we were in a boat and we got very close to the opposite shore, which at that time was not called Congo, it was called Zaire.
Right.
Okay. And so it was before the nation of Congo was called Congo. They were actually called Zaire. That's what they called it then. And we got too close, and a guy came running out of the jungle and set up a mortar.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And started to mortar our boat.
I remember you asking, hey, what is that guy doing? And the boat guy said, oh, it looks like it appears to be him setting up a mortar. He's going to shoot at us. We must turn around. And we're like, yes, we must turn around.
I was like, turn this thing around, you hillbilly. What are you doing? And he's like, my God, this one is going to murder us.
Yes.
I'm like, he ain't going to murder me. I'm not sitting here letting him. But there's no way we're going to jump out of the boat because—
The hippos,
which were ramming our boat.
They were trying to turn the boat over
they
at the same time.
They were ramming our boat. The hippos. And you could just see them coming. You just see this wake. And just about a foot underneath the water would be this, you know, 3,000-pound hippo, and bam, it would hit the boat, trying to turn
and
the boat over.
And who knew they even did that?
Yeah,
that
we
was the first for us, yeah.
To me, a hippopotamus was the sweetest animal.
I know.
On the, oh, no,
and they're supposed to be purple and
cute,
and they're not.
Yeah, I thought they'd be purple. I thought they'd be a lot smaller. I thought they were purple with pink mouths.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a clue. And oh my God, they are aggressive and horrible, and they kill people. And listen, they don't eat you.
And
they just chew you
so
up and spit you out.
Fast.
They're fast.
Wow, they're fast.
You cannot believe how fast a hippo is until it chases you.
Yeah, you cannot run
and
it.
And you cannot
There's
outrun
no way.
It. I mean, we had several chase us in the car.
Mm-hmm.
We had a water buffalo chase us.
We did.
I had a dadgum baboon jumped on our car and attacked me. Do you remember that?
We had an elephant come after us.
We had an elephant absolutely come after us, mm-hmm. who would have killed us.
Right.
And we were in the midst of a war zone.
Oh, well, how about the time when we broke down in the middle of a safari and had a flat tire and there was lions right there.
Okay, so we get out and we fix this flat tire and I was laughing, joking, going, you know, there's no telling how many lions are around here, whatever. And then we finally, after about an hour, because it took forever because the jack didn't work and there was this issue and that issue, we finally get the tire change. And then we, you know, and there's tall grass all around
right.
us. And then we go past the tall grass, maybe couple of hundred yards.
Not very far.
And there was a whole pride of lions.
Luckily, they're lazy lions.
And they were there by us the whole time, and we were clueless.
Yes.
Totally clueless. What about the time that we went into the village and all those kids were playing with that black mamba?
That was crazy. Shoeless kids. They had
shoeless
no shoes.
Kids. And this
all
snake,
they had was a stick.
A stick. Mm-hmm. And we killed the black mamba and stretched out across the road and went all the way across the road.
It was huge. Scariest snake I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is all the first trip.
Yes, that was.
Why did we ever go back?
You know, God puts places in your heart. And I even thought about that this week when I was there. I am very, very much at home when I'm there. I honestly and truly could live there.
Hello, my podcast listening friend, you progressive learner, you disciple of Jesus, you intuitive and ingenuitive person, you. Hey, man, this is Troy. I'm going to break in for just a second and remind you that we got so many amazing things coming up, and I want you to know about those things. I do have the trip to Israel that's coming up in the month of March, and it's not just any trip. It is the God TV Arise Zion. Me and a whole bunch of other people are going to be hosting that. You got to find out about it. Go to troybrewer.com. Guys, we have so many things coming up. It's hard to always tell everybody about all the things. So do you know what? Just simply go to troybrewer.com. All right, let's go back to the podcast. I remember our guards. There was these two guards, machine gun guards, that was mm-hmm. with us all week. You know the story I'm fixing to tell.
Oh, yes.
And they were with us all week. And the people that we were with didn't treat them very well. And they didn't have the same culture we do. You honor people. You love people. You encourage them. You invite people into everything. Even the hired help, man, you invite them in to be, you know, everything that you're doing. And I was like, these people are protecting us, okay? We need to treat them better.
Yes.
And I kept asking our host, why are those guys sitting out in the car? Why aren't they in here eating? Oh, no, these ones are paid. Well, so what? They're paid. Bring them in here, dude. Let's freaking feed them. Let's do that. So anyway, we treated them. They were blown away with how they were treated. And at the end of the week, I said, I got with the two guards, and we were going to leave the next day. And I said, hey, look, I want to be a blessing to you guys. And you guys have been so good to me. Thank you so much for guarding us.
You kept us alive.
Yeah, thank you for keeping us alive. We bless you. What can I do for you? What can and they talk in their own language, right? Hum num num hum 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 hum. And finally they get done and he says, we have an agreement. And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to get you? He said, can we touch your wife?
To which you should have said, absolutely not.
I said, what? What do you want to do? And he said, I want to touch your wife. And I'm like, why do you want to touch my wife? And he said, because I've never touched a white woman before. And he started asking
Thanks.
Me, and I was like, well, where do you want to touch her? And he said, her hand, can I touch her hand? I said, yeah, if she will mind. And I said, hey, Leanna, come over here. And so they were hollering at you, and you were inside the house, and he was asking me, for one thing, so you come out. And I said, Leanna, he was saying he wanted to shake your hand. That's what he was saying.
But you didn't know that. Yes, of course, before you even knew.
I knew exactly. Listen, I'm a lot smarter than what you give me credit for. You were young,
and you were like, sure.
That was hilarious. So he comes over, and Leanna comes. I said, Leanna, would you please shake this man's hand? And she's like, yes. And you come out, and you shake your hands, and you're being so nice to him and sweet to him. And they're smiling. They're shaking your hand and everything, and you're blessing them. And then you prayed for him, and you held their hand while you was praying for him. And then you left and you said, Troy, I'm gonna go to the room. I said, okay, I'll be in there in a minute. And then you left and they were literally looking at their hands like they had just shaken the hands of a rock star. And they were looking at their hands, they were talking their language and they was laughing and everything. And he asked me this question. He says, has she always been so white? I said, yes, sir. She was born that way. He said, my God, is she drinking the milk?
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, that's it, buddy. She mm-hmm. drinks milk every day. Mm-hmm. That's why she's so white. These guys are from the village. They didn't know.
Oh, I know.
And they didn't mean anything by it, whatsoever. But they were just totally blown away, and they loved you so much. After being around you for a whole week, they were just blown away at what God had done with you and through you. You know, I'll tell you another thing too that happened on that trip was when that storm hit us in that building we were in. Do you remember that?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I remember that.
Tell everybody what happened.
We were at a place this week that reminded me of it. So we went into, now mind you, this has been over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So a lot of the places that we went, the people had never seen white people before.
Right.
So we were like an oddity. Mizungus is what they call us.
Plus I was fat, and there was no fat people there.
Right, and you had a full beard.
And I had a full beard. And so I was like a walk-in freak show. That's what I was. Right. I drew a crowd everywhere I went.
Well, and if you weigh over 100 pounds, they consider you fat. So everywhere I'd go, they'd ask me how I got so fat, which— To this day, I still don't appreciate them asking me that, but that's all right.
It's awesome.
I'm over it.
I just think it's great.
So we went into this, a storm is coming, a big storm. And so we went into this school building that had a metal roof on it.
Yes.
And so we all squeezed in probably 400 or 500 people into a building that could barely hold 100 people, but everybody was squished in there. Well, the storm came, and so the people were all on one side of the building, and we were on the other by ourselves. I mean, it's like they were afraid of us, that we had some kind of crazy—
That's right, yeah, they didn't want to get too close to
us. Some kind of crazy disease or something. And anyways, so the storm came and blew off their half of the roof.
Yeah, the roof that we were under, it was that bad.
Yeah, and so
we were in the building
when the roof blew off. And so only a part of the roof was on, and it was a part we were on. And so they were just scared to death, but it was storming so bad. We were like, we promise it's okay if you come stand over here with us.
Yeah.
So we had to coax them over there, and they finally came. But we had been in the middle of doing a conference outside, so all of the equipment that we had rented was outside in horrible storm.
Yep. And guitars and PA systems and all that. And it rained. It was just crazy how it rained. It was absolutely crazy.
But that happens a lot because it's a rainforest and you're right on the equator. So they just pop up and then they leave just as fast as they came. But it was a horrible storm. It was horrible.
Now, in the midst of all the crazy things, and you and I've been in 55 nations. How many nations have you been in?
54 with Korea. So I'm catching up.
You're just trying to outdo me.
That's next week. No, I hadn't thought about it until they asked me this last week how many I had been in. So I sat down and counted them. And
we haven't been in all the same nations.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, I've been in the airport in Korea, but I haven't done a missions trips there. As a matter of fact, you just got back from Uganda yesterday. And
yes.
Then 2 weeks ago, you got back from South Korea.
Yes, so I was home for about 5 days before I left, and now I'll be home for 4 days before I go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so we're leaving for Barbados on Sunday after church, right? So we've been living this life for a long time, haven't we?
We have. It's a good life. We're
blessed. It is a good life because we really do love all the people that we're connected with.
We really love them. Really love them.
The people that we can't get along with, we just don't go visit them anymore.
you don't have to. You don't have time. You barely have time to go see the people that you really do love.
That's right.
And so there's no sense in—
Yeah, and just trying to get along with
somebody.
There's
no sense in it. There's somebody that's meant for them.
That's
you need
right.
to know your assignment.
So on this last trip, your 35th, 36th trip to Uganda— What happened and what did you do? But let me stop and say this. Going back to that very first trip, we came across a little boy that kind of changed everything for you. It actually changed your whole life.
It was my second trip there that happened.
Okay.
The first one is when I picked up the lovely bug I kept for many years.
Well, everybody doesn't know that. And what's real is when we got back from our first trip to Uganda, mm-hmm. which the only reason this happened is, again, because we didn't know any better. And right. the people who were taking care of us didn't know how to host people. And we were kids, right. and we didn't know any better.
Yeah, and they were just as young as us, and they had no idea.
We ate everything, and we did everything. And we don't do that anymore, okay? We know what to eat and when to eat it and how to eat it. And we cook our own stuff, and that's how that works.
Right.
So because we know what it is to be incredibly sick. And you actually got whenever we got back, you got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you sick, Leanna?
I was sick for a little over 4 years before they finally diagnosed it.
Yeah. So we're talking about you were sick every day of your life mm-hmm. for over 4 years.
Well, that sickness, they diagnosed it in 4 years. They dealt with part of it, but the damage was done. I recently, within the last little over a year, finally got it completely fixed.
Yeah, you actually had to have a surgery to mm-hmm. have it fixed.
Yeah.
And it's because you got a parasite.
Well, I got a bug. I get parasites.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I get parasites all the time.
I know
how to deal with the parasites.
Exactly.
That's not the problem. But I actually got a real bug that had went inside of my stomach and done a lot of damage.
And it destroyed your insides in a bad way.
It did.
And we couldn't get it diagnosed. We went to doctor after doctor. And you actually had to have iron infusions. I remember I would take you down to the chemotherapy shack in Arlington, and you would lay on a bed all day long while they had iron going into your body because you'd have to do that once a month because you had zero iron in your body because these bugs were eating all of your mm-hmm. all of your blood.
Yeah,
and we couldn't
anemic.
Figure it out. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I say all this fun stuff to say, man, when you see us, I like some of my hate mail. You know, you bunch of jet setters going all over the world, staying in the Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a bunch of idiots. Like, you don't have a clue. You see our glory, but you don't know our story. I mean, you actually rode 18 hours yesterday in coach in the very last seat.
I did.
18. And we've been doing this a long time, and you're still out there doing that.
I am. And you know what? It's a privilege.
It is such a privilege. That's
to
exactly
get to
right.
do it. And
but it ain't easy.
No, it's not easy. Even if you're sitting in first class, business class,
here's something.
It wouldn't be easy.
That's a lot of traveling.
It's a lot of traveling.
And it's hard on you. And the older you get, the harder it is.
It is.
But here's something else, too. I already know the answer to this.
Okay.
But Miss Leanna, did you have very much money 22 years ago? Did you have very much money?
You know, we had none.
We didn't have any money.
We had none.
You know, the first year of Open Door Church, which was 25 years ago, the entire annual revenue of Open Door Church was $7,000.
Right.
The second year was $9,000. The third year was $12,000. We didn't have a $30,000 year until the eighth year.
Right.
And our salary came out of that.
Right. And then I worked. So, my mom had a daycare, so I worked at the daycare so the kids could go there.
And I sold barbecue.
And they could be fed.
and I sold barbecue.
You know? Yeah.
So that we could be fed, right?
Right.
And all that kind of stuff. And there was years where it would be normal for us to not have electricity on at our house.
And we did it because we knew that's what we were supposed to do.
Yep.
The call doesn't say just because you're called it's going to be easy.
Yes.
And it's going to be, you know, full of rainbows and butterflies.
Yes.
The call is the call, and the Lord gives seed to the sower. And if you will be faithful in the small things, he makes you ruler over the big things.
So we didn't have any money, yet we were mm-mm. traveling the world. And people said, well, if you didn't have any money, how in the world could you travel the world? There was a guy named Glenn Lynch, and I'm just going to say his name, that he had like 1,000,000 miles on some credit card, and he let us use his mileage for forever, incredible,
mm-hmm.
which was absolutely incredible. And then what did we do, Leanna, to come up with the money to spend on these trips?
We did everything we could do. We did bake sales. We did car washes. We did it all.
That's right.
We did garage sales.
We mortgaged our house.
We mortgaged our house so many times.
7 times.
And that was to feed our kids that we accumulated all around the world.
That's right. And because once we started taking care of these kids, you can't stop taking care of them.
No, you can't.
You are liable for them. You have to take care of them.
Yeah.
So, and plus we were raising our own biological kids.
Yes.
We have four biological kids, and we had to raise our babies as well.
And I will say this too, for those of you who are going through that season of your life, our kids didn't miss out on anything. Our kids, I look back on it, had the best of everything. The most important thing they had was love. And that's the most important thing to kids here and around the world is just to have someone to truly, truly love them, unconditionally love them. Our kids had that, but you can't outgive God. And when you're taking care of kids all around the world, the Lord takes care of your kids.
That's right.
So he sent people to favor is worth more than money.
It sure is. You know, a good example of that is one of our kids had the same problem that I had growing up. I'd passed it down to him, and he had an issue with learning in a special kind of way. And so there was a special school that he needed to go to, and it cost buku money to go to that school.
Even if you had lots of money, you couldn't afford that school.
That's right. It was unbelievable. And it was the only school that he could go to that could help him through his issue. And The bottom line is, to make a very long story short, God did a miracle, and he got a full-blown scholarship. They let that kid in.
For 5 years. Up until there was no more grades for him to go to.
There was no reason for that to happen except for God did that.
Yeah.
And here's something else, too. I'll just tell this story. He got upset because his brothers and sisters got to ride on a school bus, and he didn't get to ride on a school bus because he went to a different school than everybody else did. And he didn't like it, and he got upset. And we prayed about it, and a guy from another church, Brother David Kimbrough, gave me a giant school bus, and it had 52 seats in it, and I drove that little boy to school every day. It was just me and him driving him up to downtown Fort Worth so that he could actually get on a school bus.
Yes.
And God just did that for us because we took care of other people's kids. The Lord took care of our kids.
Yeah.
It's so true.
It is so true. It's true in every single part of your life. When you think you're giving too much, you can't. It's impossible to give too much.
Listen, I'm going to end this because we need to continue this, and we will do this. We will do a part two of this. Is that okay with you? Will you do a part two of this podcast with me?
Sure.
Okay. So, friends, listen, man. For everybody that's listening right now, I'm gonna go ahead and end this right now, and we'll put part two of this on next week's podcast. And guys, you've been listening to my amazing bride, Leanna Brewer, and you can find her at sparkworldwide.org. And SPARK is her ministry of orphanages throughout the world, which is an acronym for Serving, Protecting, and Raising Kids. And on next week's podcast, we'll actually listen to the amazing stories that happened with SPARK Worldwide and how she got the vision for it and what God is doing. And you're going to love this. So guys, listen, Leanna, can we just end with a prayer, and can we pray for everybody that's listening and people that are going through a hard time? We know what it is to go through hard times.
We do.
And but to find joy in it.
Yes.
To find joy in it and to find laughter in it and to have a vision for what's way on the other side of the hardship that you're going through.
It's all about perspective.
Yes, it is. Yes, yes. It is. Okay, will you lead us in prayer?
Well, King Jesus, we love you, Lord, and we say thank
you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for the privilege, Lord God, of being able to serve you, Lord God. You are such a good master. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Love you, Jesus.
King Jesus, you are everything, Lord God, that we could ever hope for, imagine, believe in. Father God, you are more than enough. Yep. You are more than enough. And God, I just thank you for your supernatural favor, Lord God, on everyone listening today, Lord God. I pray, God, that you would touch their hearts. Lord God, those who needed their perspective changed, I pray, God, that you would cause them to see things, God, the way that you see them and not the way that they have been taught from tradition, Lord God, or from culture or wherever they get their perspective from.
Yes.
But I pray, God, that they would get it straight from your throne, Lord God, that they would see things truly the way that you do. And God, I pray, God, for those that are just starting their journey with you, Lord God, that you would encourage them, Lord God, to be able to stand in places when it's hard, when nobody else is standing with them. And Father, those that have done it, Lord God, their whole lives, I pray, God, that they would finish well, Lord God. I pray, God, that you would see us on the in-between parts of that, Lord God, and that people would truly know your heart, Lord God, and love you in a way, God, that you deserve to be loved. And I just thank you for the privilege of life, Father God. And I pray, God, that we would never stop fearing the Lord. That is the big word, Lord God, that you're giving me right now, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we do not have the fear of the Lord, then we're fools. And Father God, nobody wants to be foolish, Lord God. We all want to walk in wisdom. And I pray, God, that you would pour out wisdom on your people in this day, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Leanna Brewer, my beautiful bride, and I call you blessed. Hey, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you're in here, man.
I'm glad I'm still awake.
You are still awake. Man, you're doing it. Guys, you've been listening to this special podcast with my beautiful bride, Leanna Brewer, and if you would like more information about any of our ministries or what we're doing, or if you'd like to stand with us in any way, you can call 877-413-0888. Again, it's 877-413-0888. Or you can just simply go to troybrewer.com. Friends, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.